From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and Merry Christmas. We have a really special program for you today. All year long, we hear from a myriad of members of Congress here on Washington Watch. And today, we wanted you to hear from a few of them from a more personal perspective, not so much policy. It's so easy to get discouraged by what is happening here in D.C. But I want you to know one of the reasons I stay, for the most part, encouraged, not only as we were talking about yesterday with Harold Harper about staying in the Word and keeping things in perspective from a biblical perspective, but also the fact that we've got so many wonderful, God-fearing men and women who sacrifice time away from their families to serve here in our nation's capital. And so on today's show, we're going to hear from just a few of them. And believe me, there's quite a few. But we're just going to hear from a few of them today, including Congressman Greg Gianforte of Montana, Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas. But to kick us off today is a good friend of mine who I've known for a long time, Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana. Mike serves as Louisiana's 4th District Congressman. He was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in December of 2016 by the largest margin of victory in his region in more than 50 years. With nearly 20 years of experience in constitutional law, he has been appointed to the powerful House Judiciary Committee and named ranking member for one of its subcommittees, the Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties. He was also elected by his colleagues to serve in this 116th Congress as the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. Congressman Mike Johnson, Merry Christmas and welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, my good brother. It is great to be with you, and Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
So it's Christmas, and let me ask this question. What does Christmas time look like at the Johnson household?
It's full of chaos and love, not unlike at the Perkins household. You know, we got a big crew like you do, and with 4 children and all of the in a big extended family. They all sort of live within a close region of us in northwest Louisiana, so we scurry to and fro, back and forth to all the houses, and it's a big, big family to get together, and it's always so much fun.
It is. Is there anything in particular, as you and Kelly now have been married? How many years now have you been married?
20 years. We made 20 years this year.
Wow. Not too far behind us, but any traditions that you look forward to each year?
Yes. You know, we have 4 children. They're now ages 18 to 9, and so there's a big span there, and we have some sort of regular traditions that we do in terms of on Christmas Eve and, you know, silly things that almost every family does. Everybody gets to pick one gift they open and all that, but it's mainly about just the time that we have together, and because we're a really biblically centered family and household, we really put the emphasis where it really should be, you know, mm-hmm. The emphasis is always on, I just love what it says in the first chapter of John, you know, the true light. It talks about the true light that gives light to everyone. It's coming into the world. That's what Christmas is about. And I love that fifth verse in John 1, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And, you know, it feels like right now, these times we're living in, people feel there's a palpable sense almost of kind of a darkness, you know, right. It's sort of fallen over the country in so many ways. And it's easy to get bogged down in that. But that is the great reminder. And that's the great good news. It's the Christmas story. And it's why we all celebrate and we get together. And just so thankful, especially in a time like this, that we get to do that.
And it really inspires us for the rest of the year. I mean, when you think about it, it's so important not to get distracted at this time of year. And, of course, everything going on in Washington, D.C., and all the things that were happening there, Christmas, the season started a little bit later than I would like it to have, because I like the ramp up to Christmas just as much as I like Christmas. I like to take a couple of weeks and just you take the time to go visit with friends and drink coffee and have conversations and catch up with the times that you've missed in the previous year. And I know for you, just like me, you commute back and forth to Louisiana, but you've got to be intentional about this time with family, and that's obviously very important at Christmas, but it's important all the time. How have you and Kelly prioritized family as you've been serving in the Congress?
Part of the way that we do that is, as you said, to be very intentional. I try to talk to each of my kids at least several times a week by phone when I'm not there. We try to do FaceTime. We try to eliminate the distance as much as possible and let them know Dad's praying for them and Dad's here. And we talk about the mundane things, the little things, what's happening at school, what's happening with their friends. Because it's easy to, with that geographic distance between us 4 days a week on average, it would be easy to grow distant, but we don't. But it takes a lot of effort, and that's really important to me as it is to you. And part of the reason is because of my own upbringing. I'm the oldest of four kids in my family. My dad, as you know my story, my dad was a firefighter. And in September 17th of 1984, he was he got blown up in an explosion on the job. He got burned 80% of his body, third-degree burns. He had about a 10% chance to live. We really did almost lose him. And for about 2 months, I didn't see him that September through October and into November. The first time he was able to come home was on Thanksgiving, and they wheeled him in. He was still he could barely move. Everything but his face was burned. And that Thanksgiving and that Christmas were so meaningful to us as a family, because I lost my dad, almost lost him twice, but he came back. I was 12 years old at the time. I mean, that's what I think about for Christmas, is the importance of family being together, because you don't know. You don't know how many days you have, to do that. And this is a time, to me, it resonates with me so much this time of year, that I try to emphasize that with my kids and let them know, don't take this for granted, because the scripture says we don't know. You're never guaranteed another day. Life is but a vapor. But enjoy every single second. And right now is the time to appreciate that, give thanks for it, and revel in the joy that it is being together as a family.
And I think, as I have been doing this now for 16 and a half years, making this commute, I actually find that when we're intentional about the time we spend with family, because of the distance, we actually spend more time together than when we take it for granted when we're together all of the time. And so even when we're in the same house, 24/7, we still have to be intentional about the time we spend with family in conversation. I actually have more conversations with my kids when I'm in D.C. because I call home pretty much every night and we have a conversation. But it's intentional. And I think that as we look at Christmas, these are some of those things that, as you say, they prompt memories, things that are important, and it's really things that we should live with each and every day.
They are, and I remember you telling me that when you took the helm of the Family Research Council that many years ago. I remember we had a conversation, and I said, wait a minute, you're going to commute? You're not going to bring LaJuan and the kids to D.C.? And I think you made the right decision, Tony, in hindsight, because no one wants to raise their kids in the Beltway if you can help it, right? I haven't brought mine here. We live, our home is in the district, and your home, their home, that they know, their roots are in Louisiana. And so there's a lot of stability that goes with that. But as long as Dad's involved, and I've just really marveled. I mean, I would say that to your listeners. A lot of people don't know all your personal story and all that, but you've been a great model for that, brother. I mean, this is appropriate time for me to tell you, and thank you for that, showing that, as you told me a long time ago, you may not even remember this, probably more than 20 years ago, you said, you know what? If we're going to be family values guys, we have to really live it. We have to really believe and live and be consistent about those values. And I took that to heart. You're exactly right. It's probably some of the best advice I ever got, because in these roles, it's really easy to lose sight of that, to not be who we are and who we believe we're supposed to be, called by God to be as heads of our household and all that. And thanks, man. Thanks for the model. I didn't expect to go there, but I want you to know that that's been a great example to me and a lot of others.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that. But I'm on the journey still. And what I keep at the forefront is the scripture where he says, what does a man gain if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? And I think about that from the standpoint of our families. And I've seen this. I've seen, unfortunately, many who have embarked upon an effort to save the world only to lose their own home. And, you know, our first priority, and I know we're kind of deviating a little bit here from a Christmas, but I think it's important for people to know what causes, what makes us tick and what motivates us and moves us. You know, the most important thing for us as men is our own family, our wives and our children. Mm-hmm. And until we get – in fact, Timothy – and Paul tells Timothy, when you look for leaders, that's what they need to do. They need to first be proven in the home because that's a great training ground for leading and for learning how to lead.
That's exactly right. And as a great philosopher said one time, if a man can't lead his family, he has no business – leading any other larger group, not a city, a state, or a nation. I mean, that's where it begins. And if you can't do that well, then you've lost sight of your first priority. I do believe it's our first priority under God. So it's easy to lose sight of that. And then, you know, in the halls of power on Capitol Hill, I mean, people get really swept up into all this. And I just don't, because I that's my perspective. I mean, this is just a momentary season, a calling, a place to serve, but they can take it or leave it. I don't need this job. My heart and my priority is at home, and I'm here to serve because I believe God called me to do it in this season and to use the whatever meager abilities He's given me in this arena to do this. But I'm under no illusion. This is what makes me important. What makes me important is how I'm seen in the eyes of my wife and my children.
Absolutely.
And that is the code I live by.
It is, and I've shared that even with our listeners before, that I don't really listen to all the noise that's around me. I don't care what the press has to say. I don't read the news in terms of what they say. It's if your wife loves you, you know that you're doing what God has instructed you to do. If your children respect you, you're a consistent example, because they can detect any type of hypocrisy. And so I think those things are critical. Plus, I think it's good to commute back and forth, because if you start reading your own press, you go home and the wife tells you to take the trash out. It has it has this humbling effect you're back there in the real world.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they're helpmates, and they're a great way to keep you humble, for sure. That's right. But that's the role, and that's what we do as we compliment one another as spouses. And that's, you know, it's the beauty of it. That's how God designed it. Exactly.
And it is, and I know Kelly and you know Luana, this is a team effort. Our wives are so much a part of what we do in our families. Our children make sacrifices, but they do so willingly, knowing that they're a part of the ministry of their fathers.
They do. And by God's grace, that's what we have. And it is the greatest blessing. We were taking our first oath of office when I got elected to a state representative post about 5 or 6 years ago. We brought all the kids up on the stage with us to raise their hands and take the oath as well, because we made the decision as a family. There was a pastor in the back of a mutual friend of ours, you know, Pastor Tim Karskat, and he came up after the ceremony and said, "Wow, I'm so moved." He said, I believe the Lord gave me a word for you guys. And Kelly said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, I saw as you were standing up there with your children, the Lord spoke to me really clearly. I think He wants you to know He's going to give your children an extra measure of grace to cover them for the time that Dad's going to be called away for this arena that he's going to serve in. But don't worry, because He's going to cover them." And of course, Kelly starts boo-hooing, and I'm almost moved to tears. So that's your greatest concern.
And it's so needed. You know? Mike, we got to leave it there. Yeah. Folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more after this.
A strong case can now be made that China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith, especially Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong. The Chinese Communist Party's movement against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these human rights and religious freedom violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China. That's frc.org/China.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a 2-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This rapid increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but now they want to place the burden of inducing abortions completely on women, despite the fact that the health complications that often result from an induced chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. They include severe bleeding, infection, retained fetal parts, the need for emergency surgery, and even death. With all the documented dangers of abortion drugs, it is clear that the abortion industry's goals are political, ideological, and financial, not the well-being of women. For more information about the dangers of chemical abortions, visit frc.org/chemicalabortion. That's frc.org/chemicalabortion.
Welcome back to this special Christmas Day edition of Washington Watch. Again, Merry Christmas, and glad you are joining us. You may be in the car, headed over to visit some family or friends, and thanks for tuning in. This is an opportunity for us to kind of step back from the, you know, the policy-driven political focus that is day-to-day and bring a few of our frequent guests on that we have throughout the year in the program, those that we work with very closely that we see as really championing the things that we care about here at the Family Research Council, faith, family, and freedom. And one of the voices you've heard a number of times here on Washington Watch is Congressman Roger Marshall. He represents the 1st District of Kansas, and he brings a very interesting background to Kansas. As a physician, he has delivered more than 5,000 babies. Man, I mean, any politician would envy 5,000 babies. That's a lot of babies to kiss. I wonder how many hands he had to shake along with that. But it gives him a deep appreciation for the sanctity of life and an intimate understanding of the healthcare system. He also brings 7 years of Army Reserve experience, where he helped train a mobile hospital support unit and rose to the rank of captain. Today, he serves on the House Committee on Agriculture and the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, Merry Christmas to you, your family, and all the Family Research Council listeners. A great day. I just can't imagine all the Christmas mornings I spent delivering a Christmas baby. Every baby's special, but those ones born on Christmas Day, I'll always remember.
You know what? That is probably something quite unique. As a physician, you would remember that. Certainly the parents will remember that, but it puts a fine point on Christmas as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came as a baby. And, you know, I just want to say I appreciate your work on the life issue. You've been leading the charge on the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act, joining with the team there to make sure that we end this infanticide. It's the only way I can describe it. But also, you have been a great champion of religious freedom and Christians bringing their faith to whatever it is they do, whether they're doctors, whether they're policemen, whether they're in the military, whether they're political leaders, that we should not have to hide our faith. So You know, as we were thinking about a Christmas Day program, you were one of the members we thought about, you know, and we wanted people to get to know a little bit more about Roger Marshall than just the fact that he's a member of Congress.
That's great, Tony, and I appreciate it, and I am so grateful for all of our religious freedoms. Again, something we take for granted, but as I've been allowed to travel around the world a little bit, representing the United States, representing Kansas, I've seen those who are not allowed to worship how they feel that they would like to. And there are lots of crimes against humanity that continue to occur. Despite all of the warts of our country, we're still the greatest country in the world, and so grateful that we get to worship God, that we get to celebrate Christmas. And you're right. Just the sanctity of life. Christmas morning, you always stop. You know, the first thing we think about is our Savior being born and how precious that life was. And just lastly, I would say the Bible scripture I keep quoting is that for such a time as this, we've been called to stand up. And I appreciate what you've done, what Family Research Council has done, and what your listeners have done to help put wind beneath my sails and others in Congress who are fighting for life, fighting for freedom, fighting for religious freedoms as well.
Now, Congressman, you and your wife, Lena, you actually have a few years on my wife and I, Luana. You've been married for 36 years. We're bumping up to 34. You have four children and two grandchildren. And so I want to ask you, you know, what are some of the Marshall family Christmas traditions that you look forward to each year?
Well, first of all, Christmas Eve ceremony at our church has just always been a special time. Lighting the Christmas candle as we all gather in our church and we light the person's candle beside us. And then finally, we light that unity candle in the front. Just starting off Christmas Day, you know, the night before, it's great, like on Christmas Eve this year, just worshiping together. And then coming home, maybe some eggnog and some cookies, and then reading a Christmas story. And, you know, traditionally, we let the kids pick. We have several Christmas story books out and read about those. And then waking up in the morning, of course, is there anything funner than watching the little kids glee as they run to that stocking to see if Santa came or not? So those are a few. A big dinner, a big family's dinner, used to those. And gosh, if I think back to my childhood, my dad pulling us behind the tractor on a sled in the snow brings back great memories. And I guess it's always a theme here is family, doing something with family fun together.
Yeah, I think that was actually going to be my next question. As you look back on your childhood, those things that have stuck with you through the years, maybe you don't still do them, but you think back on them with fond memories. And, you know, the Christmas is one of those times. Our thoughts immediately go to family, time with family and friends, and those type of things that really – in some ways shape us as we grow older and as we begin our own families. But even as individuals, those experiences have a shaping influence upon us.
You know, exactly. And for us, growing up, we would go to Christmas Eve at my mom's parents. It was kind of a small Swedish custom there of opening some presents on Christmas Eve. And, of course, always just a huge family dinner. And then the next morning, Christmas presents and spending time with my immediate family, and then going out to my grandparents and at each one of these places, aunts and uncles and cousins. We didn't need family reunions. We had the holidays for family reunions. And oh gosh, I remember running up in the hay mount, my mom's parents, and we had a basketball goal up there. No matter how cold it was outside, we could always go up in the hay mount and shoot some baskets. And just each year, as the years went by, seeing if I could beat my uncles in a game of horse and eventually a game on one-on-one. And again, just lots of great memories of family and now two grandsons and looking just to continue those family memories for them as well.
Faith, family, and freedom. Those are the things we look at on occasions like this because they are the things that are most important to us. Congressman, we're up against a break, but I want to ask you to stay around because I want to continue this conversation, not only talking about Christmas here on this Christmas Day, but as we look forward to 2020, what's ahead for America? So folks, stick with us. Again, Merry Christmas. So glad you're with us for this Christmas Day special. We'll return in just a moment with more from Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas. Don't go away. What other trips to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible and life-changing 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. We'll stand in the ancient ruins of synagogues where Jesus preached, worship on the Sea of Galilee, walk the streets of Jerusalem, stand on the Mount of Olives, and have communion at the Garden Tomb. You'll meet Israeli leaders who will share about Israel's intelligence and defense systems and brief you on foreign policy. As one of our former travelers said, quote, the worship, spiritual, and geopolitical understanding that FRC contributes to the trip makes it an experience not to be missed. So join us June the 2nd through the 12th for this unique experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Can a Facebook post or a tweet or an Instagram picture change a person's mind? At Family Research Council's 15th annual Pro-LifeCon Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture's view of human life. Join us via live webcast from Washington, D.C., the morning of Friday, January 24th. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists who will share how they view social media and other digital tools to further the pro-life message. You'll be educated and empowered to better reach your own communities by learning best practices from those who are at the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement. With this innovative information, anyone can make an impact for the pro-life movement. Anytime, anywhere. Tune in Friday, January 24th at 8 a.m. at ProLifeCon.com. Again, visit ProLifeCon.com for more information.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to this special Christmas Day edition of Washington Watch. I do hope you are enjoying this day, time with family and friends, but also taking a moment to reflect upon the reason for the season, and that is the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which not only gives us a reason to celebrate, but it gives us hope for the future. And that is not just tomorrow, but it reaches into eternity, and we're grateful. And if you don't have a relationship with that Savior that we celebrate today, you can. And it's very simple. It is by grace. It is a gift that God sent, and that gift was Jesus Christ, that little baby in a manger. And by faith, we can accept it, receive forgiveness of our sins, and we can truly unwrap that present, the present of eternal life. Life abundant, as Jesus described it. My guest is Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas. We're talking about kind of Christmas traditions and those things from childhood that shape us. Congressman, I want to shift gears just a bit because Christmas for most of us here in D.C. was a little bit short this year as Congress ran kind of a little longer than normal, and then we're going to be right back at it here in about another week. And as you look forward to 2020 or into the year 2020, what are some of the things that we need to be praying about as Christians in America?
Well, thanks, Tony. And, you know, I think, first of all, let's stop and thank God and praise Him for the many things He has given us. We have the strongest economy in my professional lifetime. Wages are up. Unemployment's down. So thank God for the jobs that we have, because we all want to take care of our families. We want to be productive members of society, and we appreciate the great economy that President Trump has helped get us to. Stop and celebrate our military. I think that our military was in very ill repair a couple of years ago.
We've made
some great strides forward in that area. So stop and praise God for those. We've got the most pro-life president. His actions, I think, are the most pro-life actions of any president we've ever had, and we need to be praying to keep putting that God would continue to bless him, bless his presidency. He must have the thickest skin of any person I've ever seen. Hopefully, this impeachment trial is about over, and we can get on to business like an infrastructure plan, securing our border, fixing health care. Those are the few things that I would love for Congress to turn our attention to.
Yeah, that's all spot on. And I had a chance to visit with the president shortly before Christmas, pray with the president. And I'm amazed at his resolve, but also know that, as you said, these attacks, you know, after a while, they take their toll. But he has a resolve, and I actually think he's going to come out of this more committed to pressing forward with the conservative agenda that he outlined in his first election and no doubt will be a part of his second campaign. So there is a lot to be thankful for. In fact, men and women like you serving in Congress. But share with our listeners, if you will, for just a moment, Roger, kind of from the perspective of a member of Congress who is serving here, who is in this very, I would say, toxic environment, but serving not just your constituents, but you serve the Lord and you see yourself being here to serve him and your fellow man. How can people be praying for you?
You know, I think number one is, of course, wisdom and discernment. Every day, you know, wake up, we do have lots of choices to make. So just pray that God would give us wisdom and discernment. Number two is pray for our families. You know, if my wife's happy, I'm happy. Okay? That's no, you know, I think we all know that. You married 34 years, 36 years for us. You know, pray for our families. This is a lot of wear and tear on them.
Yes.
I'm on the road 2 days a week, just flying to Kansas, flying back. We don't get to see our families much. So keep praying for our families as well. Pray for the relationship between President Trump and Speaker Pelosi. And, you know, God can work miracles, and if we could get the two of them leading and going in the same direction, it would be really good for this country.
Without question, what gives you the most hope as you look into to next year and beyond?
Gosh, I maybe I sound like a broken record, but I just look into my grandson's eyes, and they're what inspire me. They are what gives me hope. Gosh, I went over and commemorated D-Day, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And as I walked on the shores of Omaha Beach, I looked up to a monument, the Big Red One monument, the people that gave mm-hmm. their lives for us. And think about the Holocaust and all those things going on those times. They are the greatest generation. You know, things are tough now, but I don't think they're as tough as they were then. We've got a strong economy. I think we know what the right things to do are. What gives me hope, the relationships I have with Democrats, some really strong, godly men and women, Democrats as well as Republicans. We have a prayer breakfast every Thursday morning to just hear their prayers, to hear them share their testimonies. Gives me hope that the hearts are right. We don't always agree on how to get there, but we usually agree on the goals and objectives. And gosh, you know, once upon a time, there were some Democrats that were pro-life. So, you know, there's some hope that some of these Democrats can step forward and show their live their faith as well and maybe help us with some of these pro-life issues.
And we will pray to that end. Congressman Roger Marshall, let me again wish you a Merry Christmas and thank you for taking time out to join us today.
Tony, I'm honored. Merry Christmas again to you, your family, and all your listeners. Thanks for what you do for all of us.
All right. Thanks so much. God bless you. That was Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. When we come back, we'll hear from another friend of FRC. Congressman Greg Gianforte joins us from Montana. That's next. Don't go away. Ever hear the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Masculinity is under attack in our culture. The American Psychological Association released guidelines declaring traditional masculinity ideology as harmful. Brown University, an Ivy League school, offered a course, Unlearning Toxic Masculinity, explaining that rigid definitions of masculinity are toxic to men's health. And a University of Texas class, Masculine UT, treated masculinity as if it were a mental health crisis. Thankfully, the culture does not have the last word on true masculinity. God does. Our Stand Courageous Men's conferences offer biblical solutions to the crisis of manhood. We seek to help men develop character, cultivate habits, build relationships, and make commitments that will move them closer to God's design. Check out StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com.
Do you know of one person who knows absolutely everything? No? Me neither. And so, if we don't know everything, we all need to be lectured sometimes. Or at least, we all could benefit from tuning into a lecture now and then. Well, Family Research Council has just the thing. A new weekly podcast called Lecture Me, created to help inform and equip listeners on the biggest issues affecting our culture today. Each episode presents a lecture selected from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium features today's top thinkers who take on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Make sure to stick around after each lecture as we break down the content and discuss these topics further. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a 2-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com, or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the fire.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch. Yes, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas because it is Christmas. And let me again say Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for joining us for this Christmas Day special. It's an opportunity for us to step back for a moment in time from the the policy issues, all the political stuff, and just kind of go a little more personal and talk about the things that are important in life as we step back during the holiday season, Christmas in particular, as we spend time with family and friends. And joining me now on this special Christmas Day edition of Washington Watch is Congressman Greg Gianforte, who represents the at-large district of Montana. That means he covers the whole state. He serves on the House Committee of Energy and Commerce, including the subcommittees on Communication and Technology, Consumer Protection and Commerce, and Health. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you are certainly welcome, and it's good to hear your voice. I know we had dinner together a few weeks ago, and I was so encouraged by our conversation with you and your wife, Susan. You've been married for over 31 years. You have 4 kids, successful in business, but then you entered into the political arena really to make a difference because you felt God was directing you in that way. And I just wanted you to kind of share a little bit with our listeners to give them kind of the other side of what they hear in the news about all of the political dissension and stuff, that there really are men and women who are drawn to Washington, D.C. to do the right thing, just to serve the people of this country. So thanks so much for taking a little time out to join us.
Well, it's my pleasure. And, Tony, I'm just very pleased to be on with you. The work you do advancing faith, family, and freedom is so important. And the role that FRC has is so important to help us to inform folks. And you're right. Susan and I are blessed. We've been married 31 years. We're both engineers. We've raised 4 children. They all know the Lord, and they're now young adults, and they're spreading their wings. And we were called to this. I spent my whole career in business, but it was really the reality that, you know, we all have a period on the wall where we have to watch and protect the freedoms that God has given us and are enumerated in the Constitution. So, I've been encouraged since we've been here. I haven't been in Washington that long. I spent my whole career in business. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's if I think to whom much is given, much is expected. And this is an opportunity to preserve the American dream and the freedoms for another generation. And that's why we're here.
Well, and you didn't need to come here. You've been very successful in business. And you could have just, kind of retired from business, enjoyed life. But you stepped into the political arena. And what really encourages me is when I see men and women like you, because there's more here. People don't realize that there are some really committed Christians serving in Congress today. This has not been easy. You've been attacked for your positions. You have been maligned. When you step into the arena, you're going to get sweaty. You're going to get bloody. You're going to get dirty. But you didn't shrink back from that. And you have stood by principles. You've stood by the truth. And you know what? It's for us, it's certainly encouraging to see.
Well, I really see this period of time, this season in Washington, as really a response to a call for stewardship. Mm-hmm. The Lord has given us all particular skills, and it's like a toolbox. And if we don't use them, they become rusty. I chose to spend the bulk of my life in the private sector creating jobs, and we were successful. But then that chapter ended. And the question became, what is next? And through a period of prayer and reflection, concluded that serving in a public service role was one that the skills that the Lord had given me were well prepared me for that. And that ultimately led me to Washington.
Well, you mentioned season. This is Christmas, and since it is Christmas, I want to transition for a minute to talk about, what are some of the Gianforte family traditions? What is it that that you guys continue to do after all these years that really you look forward to?
Well, it's all about family. As I mentioned, we have four children. They're now young adults, aged 30 to 24. There's two traditions that we've kept in our family that have been really fun. One is we live in Bozeman, Montana, surrounded by God's creation, and we always make it a point every year going out as a family as they're older, whoever's in town at the time. All of our children are back for Christmas this year, which is really wonderful. But to go find a Christmas tree, we always load up the car with sleds and head up into the hills. We have a double secret spot that we go to every year in the National Forest, and we take our little crosscut saw with us, and we do a little sledding, and we cut a tree down, then we come home and decorate it. That's something we make time for to do every single year. And then that's something, again, that's something we've done together. The other thing we used to do when the kids were younger, this was, I think back on it, it just makes me chuckle, but our kids every year would redo the nativity scene. They do it as a play. And our daughter would be Mary. Our oldest son, Joseph. Our third son would be a donkey. He would kind of dress himself up as a donkey. And our daughter, she didn't at six.
Now, wait a minute. Have you pre-approved this story with the kids?
They pick the roles. He's the one that's – our third son is the one that's the most adventuresome. He's the one that rode his unicycle all the way from Canada to Mexico a few years ago. So he's not afraid. But he decided he'd be the donkey. But our daughter, not fully understanding the birds and the bees, would take a small Jesus – like a small doll that was Jesus, and she'd stick it under her shirt. She knew that's where babies came from. And in the middle of the play – she'd just reach up under her T-shirt and pull out baby Jesus. And they all had their lines. And they would perform this for the family or whoever happened to be at the house for Christmas. And I still remember that very fondly, and it's just it was really fun.
Yeah, out of the mouth of babes. You're listening to a special edition, in fact, a very special Christmas Day edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Greg Gianforte, my guest, represents the state of Montana. You know, just so people understand how that works, in Montana, because of the population, there's only one congressman. You got two senators, but one congressman. I mean, that you represent more people in many ways than your senators do.
Yeah, and it's true. I have the largest congressional district in the country in terms of number of people in my district, and it's the second largest in geography after Alaska. So there's a lot of windshield time driving around, and just to maintain my sanity, I'm proud to tell folks I've yet to spend a weekend in Washington, D.C., so I get back and at least connect with reality again every single weekend.
Yeah, and that's a long way to go, but it's so important. As I do go back to Louisiana each week, I just think it's important to stay in contact with people who are not just immersed into the politics, because yeah, I think we can lose track of what – I mean, not that this stuff is not important. It is important. That's why we do it. But there are other things that are important. You know, as we're talking about family, we're talking about community, those things are important. And making sure that we keep all of those things in perspective. Sometimes it's very helpful just to go down the aisles of Walmart and somebody, you know, stop to ask you, hey, can you help me get my drainage ditch cleaned out? You know, right. The things that really affect people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I do. So I'm back there. I'm very blessed. My wife, Susan, travels with me. She commutes to D.C. with me every week, and then we're back in the state. We've always been, you know, the 31 years of marriage. We've started five businesses together, and now she's fully in this public service role, acting as certainly my partner. But she gets her hands dirty too. She's had a number of offers here back in Washington to come work for other campaigns, but she hasn't accepted any of them. I'm thankful for that.
Well, that's good. Good to know. I also know that while you're back home, you spend a little bit of time outdoors, not just getting Christmas trees, but you actually like to do a little bit of hunting. We were comparing notes last time when we had dinner a few weeks back, and what is it? I think was it a moose or an elk?
Yeah, I take an elk every year, or I've been fortunate enough to do that. But this year I was, you know, I drew a moose tag as well. And actually, this is a funny story. My wife and I, she not only is my life partner, business partner, campaign partner, she's also my hunting partner. And about 8 weeks ago, we went. It was a snowy weekend in Montana. It was about 20 degrees. It was blowing 20 miles an hour. Snowstorm. Visibility was about 100 yards, and we were hunting moose together. And I got a moose tipped over, and my wife was with me. She's not a big lady, but it was a mile from the truck, and she helped me get it field dressed. She helped me drag it back to the truck. She helped me get it loaded on the flatbed. She helped me skin the moose, and I posted a picture on Facebook of this moose, and I told a little bit of the story, and someone wrote in a Facebook comment, well, that's a real trophy, and I'm not talking about the moose.
So, yeah, we were comparing notes. My deer was about the size of one leg of your moose that I had gotten. But
well, we are blessed in Montana with abundant wildlife, and there's been good stewardship. And in fact, if you hunt big game, you can hunt big game in Montana 11 out of 12 months. The only month you can't hunt big game is July, and the fishing's pretty good in July. So it's a sportsman's paradise. It's part of with all the public lands that we enjoy. This is really where we raised our kids. We, in the summertime, I think one of the best things I ever did to prioritize family was to take, instead of taking a 2-week vacation, I took Fridays off in July and August, which gave us 8 consecutive 3-day weekends. And almost every Friday morning, we'd head to a trailhead, hike to an alpine lake, camp for the weekend, and then hike out. And it was a great way in this busy, busy world of having our family together and not having cell phones or other interruptions.
Yeah, I know we're talking about Christmas, but camping begins with a C too. Is a great way to bring a family together. We did that a number of years ago. I will tell you, we have, it's been a long time since we tent camped in backpacking. My wife and I did that on the Appalachian Trail first few years of marriage, but then we moved our way up to an RV. But still, going away with 5 kids in an RV is what I call intense fellowship, and we would do that, quite regularly as the kids were growing up.
Well, Tony, we have more in common than you know, because my wife and I, our honeymoon, when we were first married 31 years ago, our honeymooning was a backpack trip on the Appalachian Trail.
Really? Well, our first wedding anniversary was spent on the Appalachian Trail. I'm not going to go into that whole story, but we do. I love the outdoors. Mm-hmm. I love the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And but to the issue of building family, and it's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this, because we practice it as individuals in our own families, but we see the importance of it in society. And I do think it's important, and for those that are busy, especially those, I talk to a lot of, our friends on Capitol Hill, a lot of younger guys that are in Congress, that, look, make sure you don't neglect your own families. It's important that as you're working to save the world, rightfully so, make sure that you save your own home and make sure you invest that time in your wife and in your children, or your husband and your children.
Well, I firmly believe that the fundamental foundational block of government is the family. And this is why the things that you fight for every day, the things we fight for here on the Hill, are so critical, because without that foundation, it's government cannot be the parent to every child. It can't be the spouse that isn't there anymore. That can only occur if we have strong families, and that's been the foundation of this country for so long. And there's so much we need to do. I've made it a priority, even when we were running our business, that I was home at 6 o'clock for dinner. I might do some work after dinner, but that time around the table in the evening was so important. And we always used to go around the table and ask each child, what was it that happened today? What moral dilemma did you face? What surprise happened? And just find out what's going on in their lives, and it lays a strong foundation.
That is so important. Congressman Gianforte, we are out of time for today, but I want to thank you for joining us on this Christmas Day, and I want to wish you and Susan and the entire family a very Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you so much, Tony, and Merry Christmas to you and your family as well.
All right. Well, folks, and Merry Christmas to you as well. Let me encourage you, if you would like to join with FRC in making sure that we continue into 2020, go to TonyPerkins.com and join with us. Until next time, I leave you with this. Merry Christmas.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to advance faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.